You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
News, WGBW, Israel says it's preparing a major offensive in Gaza, gearing up for war, attacking from the air, sea, and land 1 week after Hamas launched a brutal attack on Israel. This is ABC News has learned that a second aircraft carrier strike group, the USS Eisenhower and other warships, will be ordered to the Eastern Mediterranean to join the USS Gerald Ford strike group that's already in position.
Not only is it about sending more assets to Israel, showing that symbolic support, but it's also about deterrence. So when you talk about that possible second aircraft carrier headed towards the region, that is about telling other players, specifically Iran, Hezbollah, those who are hostile to Israel, do not get involved, do not take advantage.
ABC's Selena Wang outside the White House. The latest update on the death toll in Gaza, at least 2,228 dead, 8,744 injured in Israel, at least 1,300 killed, and 3,227 injured. And the U.S. State Department says 29 Americans have been killed. This is ABC News. New York's Attorney General says some upstate police officers will not face charges after the immolation of a man inside of a police station 2 years ago. ABC's Mark Remillard has more from New York.
In graphic video, 29-year-old Jason Jones can be seen dousing himself with hand sanitizer at a police station in Catskill, New York, about 30 miles south of Albany. In trying to control him, one officer fires a stun gun, setting the flammable hand sanitizer on Jones's head and upper body on fire. Jones was taken to a hospital where he died after 6 weeks of intensive care. Now, New York's Attorney General Letitia James said in a report that the officers will not face charges, while recommending that officers receive new training on stun gun safety. Mark Remillard, ABC News, New York.
An unexpected turn in the Natalie Holloway case. Uran Vandersloot, the main suspect in the 2005 disappearance of the Alabama high school student, is expected to plead guilty to trying to extort money from the missing teen's mother. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. There's a new push to encourage women to get screened for breast cancer when they're younger. Eric Tegedoff has more.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and health professionals say younger women are increasingly being diagnosed with the cancer. About 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed in her lifetime, but survival rates are high if the cancer is caught early. Dr. Monica Wells with Kaiser Permanente says 50 is a well-known age for people to start getting screened for the cancer.
If you sample individuals, even amongst my patient population, they think about 50 as being the time they need to start getting mammograms. But what we're doing is we're wanting to move the needle on that and have those conversations earlier.
About 1 in 11 new breast cancer cases are diagnosed in women younger than 45. There are more than 3.8 million breast cancer survivors in the United States. Wells says it might be a good idea for some women to start the screening process at age 40.
If we can identify who we can screen earlier and find those early cases, we sort of have a potentially 10-year head start on treating cancer.
When breast cancer is caught at its earliest stage, the 5-year survival rate is 99%. Wells says that's another reason why screening women at a younger age is important.
Early detection, when we find those cancers that are in their earlier stages, opens up a whole spectrum of treatment options that might not be as readily available or maybe more complicated if it's a more advanced cancer.
I'm Eric Tegedoff. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a whopper of a Wednesday edition, rolling into the happy hour, Dom. And we'll be happy when we have a fine guest join us at 5:30. He is James Causey from the Journal Sentinel, and he's here to talk about, or will be soon, to talk about dark money, funding, misleading anti-critical race theory ads that are playing out here in the state of Wisconsin. Who's paying for them? We don't freaking know.
And why not? Why don't we know? Why, if you're going to pay for it, stand up and say it, right?
I don't know. We'll ask James Causey when he joins us at 5:30. But Don, back to the House Speaker race. There's been no vote, but there's been a caucus vote. And if you missed the big news, here in the state of Wisconsin, the Assembly Caucus apparently has met. Robin Voss has announced a press conference, 9:30 tomorrow morning. I'm willing to bet a little more than even money that it's some malfeasance he plans on rolling out tomorrow morning.
No, he's not going to announce his retirement, apologize for the gerrymandering, and just, you know, walk away to run the popcorn kingdom.
I think it's far more likely that Robin Voss will claim the will of his caucus forces him to take up the matter of the impeachment of Janet Protasiewicz. And, you know, they can bleed some votes, but they could still sideline Justice Protasiewicz despite the advice of the choker, Prosser, I mean, and also John Wilcox, who apparently, former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, they're both apparently advising against the move. Well, but I'm still betting Rogan Sacks for it.
Geske, appointed by Tommy Thompson. So that's four Supreme Court justices who said, no, don't do it so far. And the only one we don't know about yet is your pal, Pat Rogan Sack.
Well, if you polled Gableman and a few others, I'm sure you could find a few more willing to go along with it, Dom.
He didn't ask Gableman. Gableman's an embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin. Isn't that what Speaker Voss said about him after he hired him, paid him millions and fired him, or cost us millions, then fired him?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he wouldn't take his advice. That doesn't mean he wouldn't take his advice if he felt like he needed it to justify his move. Which, again, doesn't have to be successful, doesn't even have to be voted on the Senate side. All he's got to do is blame it on the caucus and bring it up for a vote, and they will get the prerequisite number of votes, and probably not a lot more than that. But the caucus could give enough coverage to enough moderates and still sideline Protasiewicz. I'm not cheering for it, but I'm preparing for it.
And you're betting on it? You said bigger, better than even money is what you're telling me.
Well, your money's still good here, Dom.
Yeah, fair enough. A gentleman's wager. I just want to hear it, man. I just want to hear it.
I would say it's 51-49 impeachment tomorrow morning.
All right. We'll find out. It can't come soon enough.
Let's turn our attention to the national speaker's race, because there is no speaker of the House, and that means the House can't do anything constitutionally. They're constipated, let's say, Dom. While the next speaker, like the last one, equivocates on the 2020 results, according to Philip Bump over at the Washington Post. Here's what I mean. Rep. Ken Buck, a Republican from Colorado, had a question for the two Republicans leading the race to succeed, Rep. Kevin McCarthy. Who won the 2020 election? That's not really how how it was phrased. Political source said the closed-door meeting, where it was offered as thus, did Donald Trump win the 2020 election? But that was the gist. Buck was asking the potential next leader of the House whether he would side with reality Trump lost, or the barrage of fraud and theft that Trump has been so relentless about presenting. Now, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, who won the informal vote for the role on Wednesday morning, and Rep. Jim Jordan apparently chose the barrage. But then the majority of the Republican caucus did too on January 6, 2021, when it counted. Since this was a closed-door meeting, it's not clear exactly how Scalise and Jordan tried to thread that needle, Dom. But Politico's Olivia Beavers reported that some Republicans interpreted Scalise and Jordan's answers as equivocating on the validity of Trump's loss, with at least one saying that the two tried to have it both ways.
Are you kidding me? So they're gonna say, he probably lost, but we want to still continue to fundraise on the fact that he got stolen. I mean, really, this is the Republicans vying for leadership.
Dominic, again, this isn't really surprising. CNN polling has consistently shown that most Republicans in the U.S. think that Joe Biden wasn't legitimately elected in 2020. With a third of Republicans saying there's solid evidence he wasn't. Here's a little fact check for you. There isn't. That evidence does not exist. But more from this. More to the point. The bulk of the caucus, each man hopes to lead, voted to reject the electors submitted by Arizona and or Pennsylvania in the wake of the riot at the Capitol. After the riot. That is despite a number of Republicans leaving and joining the House in the intervening 2.5 years. Analysis of the considerations of those states' electors showed that more than half the existing Republican conference was in the House on January 6, 2021, and adopted to reject the submitted slates.
More than half.
More than half.
Then, the existing Republican conference.
Dominic, then as now, there was no justifiable cause for turning away electors committed to Biden. But then, as now, there was a perceived political benefit to doing so. Legislators like your buddy, Senator Ted Cruz, tried to argue the opposition to recognizing the state's electors was simply performative. But it was obviously a SOP to Trump's insistence that the election was stolen. By the way, Dom, it was not. And most of the conference then voted to reject one or more state electors, most of them won re-election in 2022. And even pouring a bunch more Republicans into the House didn't sufficiently water down the pro-elector rejection majority. Damn, they still believe it. And the majority of the House still voted to reject the outcome of the 2020 election. Of the Republican caucus, that is.
Philip Bump goes on to write, among those who voted to reject both states' electors were McCarthy, Scalise, and Jordan. So not only is it not a surprise that the candidates for the speakership would waffle on the legitimacy of the 2020 election, given the views of the conference, it's not surprising given their own past actions. It's useful to note, too, that the speaker election may come down to the votes of the most conservative or most right-wing Republican members. That's what happened in January when McCarthy's bid for the position required 15 rounds of votes. If hard-right legislators are the swing faction again this time, they're likely to be more insistent that the speaker candidates toe the Trump line in 2020. Of the one-fifth of the Republican conference that is least conservative, about 4 in 5 didn't vote to reject the electors, including new members who didn't vote on the issue. Of the most conservative fifth, 3/4 voted to reject the electors from one or both states. On Wednesday afternoon, Buck was asked about his question and responses from Scalise and Jordan. Now, here's what he said. If we don't have the moral clarity to decide whether President Biden won or not, we don't have the moral clarity to rule this country, period.
I agree with him.
If that is true, it is perhaps useful to note that the caucus has been wishy-washy on Biden's election since well before January of this year. Philip Bump writing at the Washington Post.
Pretty sad. Pretty That's sad.
Pathetic. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. And I got to tell you, I believe it's more likely that some of these folks are making the political calculation to say it was stolen, you'll stop the steal, because that, you know, that's what their voters want to hear. That's what motivates the fundraising, at least on the small dollar part of it, right? So whether or not they're smart enough to know or believe that, no, as indicated here, that, well, they kind of maybe said it was legitimate, but, you know, that doesn't help them in their conference, right? So they're making the political calculation to say it for political reasons. And this is just, it's beyond disarray. It's a disservice. It's immoral. It's wrong. What are you trying to do to this country, man? You think something was stolen? I can't believe that you would think that Trump would have won the election. I mean, think about where we were and what was happening during that election. Of course, the pandemic, the economy's in the tank. Donald Trump, just being Donald Trump, you know, adding on top of things that he's already done. He started planting that seed corn a long time ago, like February, perhaps, even before the election. He's saying things like, well, if we have, everyone gets a ballot or you get in the mail, well, Republicans are never going to win another election again. He knew the headwinds that he had. He knew as part of the reason he was not forthcoming with the American people as he was with the Washington Post reporter about how bad it was, because he knew it would affect his election. He tried to downplay it. And he got it, apparently almost died. But you're going to tell me that you think that in that environment, with Donald Trump being Donald Trump, the economy being what the economy was at the time, the pandemic raging, the division in this country, and you Republicans could be out there thinking somehow, some way that Donald Trump, people wanted Donald Trump, people wanted more of that? What? Why would you think that?
Well, I would point out to you, Dom, the margin still came down to what? About 11,000 votes in Georgia, about 21,000 in Wisconsin. These were not massive margins despite the political climate. And I would question, you talk about the politics, you know, maybe they're just playing the game. Well, you could call this simple political expediency, but I would say perhaps they're trying to put in place a plan to more effectively steal the vote or steal the election in 2024. And I would say, look at the impeachment efforts against the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Administrator Megan Wolf. Look at what they're doing in the state of North Carolina, overriding the veto of Roy Cooper, the governor there. And this is not for the betterment of the voters, not to make it more accessible. This is to control the mechanisms and perhaps push out the competent people that currently administer the safe and fair elections. They're stealing 2024. If we don't watch them, come back, more Devils.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out!
What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines, hope you can join us at 844-967-2789. Make sure you stick around. James Causey from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel going to join us at 5:30.
Don, we do have some sound from Scalise, but we're talking about the insurrectionist tendencies, the conspiracy QAnon caucus of this entire Republican House, man. More than half. But Mike Lindell, he's the guy that did the cyber ninja thing. Your buddy Gableman went out, right, on taxpayer dollars to a cyber symposium. Well, bad news. Mike Lindell is on a street corner begging at this moment, Dom. Mike Lindell begs for donations after declaring he's lost everything. He's lost everything, Dom. Sad news. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell is pleading that he's in the poorhouse. It's soliciting for charity to help him pay his mounting legal bills. On Wednesday, the bedroom accessory tycoon. How about Lumpy Pillow Tycoon? and 2020 election denier is fending off defamation lawsuits by voting machine companies. Here is what the statement says from Lindell. That's what it's all going for, not for anything else. Not for crack or anything.
No, not at all.
Lindell said on the streaming platform, Lindell TV, urging viewers to essentially dig in their pockets and sofas for even $5 a month to support the Lindell Offense Fund. Is that so he can offend people? That's being reported by Newsweek. Lindell told the outlet that he intends to put all his focus and energy to secure our elections while stressing the importance of preserving hand-counted ballots over electronic voting machines. He also expected to put the funds to use in a bid to help bankroll Shasta County suit against the state of California after Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill into law that places limits on local government's capacity to count ballots. Still got money for a lawsuit, though. Yeah. Dom, his public appeal for cash comes off the decision by his legal team seeking to quit the chief executive client, claiming they're owed millions of dollars in unpaid bills and expenses in his fight to defend defamation lawsuits filed against him by Smartmatic and Dominion Voting Systems. If they'd only skip the avocado toast and the Starbucks, Dom. Both companies are taking Lindell to task for attempting to impugn their reputations as he paraded around contesting the 2020 presidential is rigged against ex-president Donald Trump. Now, isn't that exactly what the entire Congress, or at least the vast majority of the Republicans in the Congress, that the assertion they're making to this day?
Well, because they're believing people like Mike Lindell. And you know, it blows my mind, everyone. You know, I talk about the BS meter. Where's your BS meter? As soon as this guy popped up onto the national scene, I thought to myself, who the hell is this guy? Why are we forced to cover him? Why is he giving advice to the president? Same thing with the Kraken lady. What kind of crackpot people are rolling around in the White House right now? I mean, it's an absolute embarrassment. It's poor judgment, certainly. But there is some hope, Crudy. We talked about Ken Buck. I'll throw this on another quickly. From Axios, Rep. Ken Buck, a Republican from Colorado, said he voted present during the GOP's internal speaker nomination poll because neither House Majority Leader Steve Scalise nor Rep. Jim Jordan would clearly say if they believe the 2020 election was legitimate. Now, Republican Rep. Ken Buck has been very critical of late, very critical of late, of the wackadoodle Republicans in the House, man. And I commend him for that. You know, I rip on Republicans a lot. Well, well done, Ken Buck. Yes, of course. Though Scalise ultimately won the Republican Party nomination, he may fail to get the 217 votes needed to clinch the gavel if he can't win over holdouts like Buck. A little bit more from the Axios. Buck said he believes Scalise and Jordan could not publicly say the election was legitimate because they would pay a political penalty in doing so. Along with not answering his question on the 2020 election, Buck also said he is also concerned over Scalise's lack of details on the upcoming spending bill and his failure to commit to holding a vote funding for Ukraine. Buck said that during Wednesday's vote, Scalise received 113, Jordan 99. He said he and two other Republicans voted present, that's three, while eight votes were cast for other candidates. That's 11. Buck said he believes Scalise currently faces seven Republicans who are strongly opposed to his leadership, while seven others, including him, remain undecided. It is now expected that Scalise will meet with all 14 representatives in an attempt to win their vote.
We've got some Scalise sound. Let's play a little bit because you wouldn't want to miss out on this. The perhaps future Speaker of the House, Steve Scalise. This vote's important. Cut one.
It's really, really important that this Congress get back to work. We select a speaker, go to the House floor, get to 218, and then get the House working again.
What's the first order of a Scalise Congress? Cut two.
The first order of business under Speaker Steve Scalise is going to be bring a strong resolution expressing support for Israel. We've got a very bipartisan bill, the McCall-Meeks resolution, ready to go right away to express our support for Israel.
More from perhaps future Speaker, definitely David Duke without the baggage, Steve Scalise. Keep playing it.
We need to make sure we're sending a message to people all throughout the world that the House is open and doing the people's business.
Is it?
is that what you call it? Is that what you, when most of your folks don't believe that Biden won a legitimate election, even though Trump's guy said it?
I want to hear cut number five, Steve Scalise. This will get solved amongst the Republicans. Inside the family, Dom, cut five.
The conversations we've been having with my colleagues over the last few days leading up to this show that there's a resolve that we need to get back to work. There's a lot of business to take care of.
And eventually we'll get around to voting for something or someone, maybe. Maybe. The Republican Party's in disarray, Dom.
TikTok, man. Oh, my goodness. Why doesn't Ken Buck run for Speaker of the House? You know what I mean? Come on.
I hear Nancy Pelosi's available.
Hakeem Jeffries would do a fine job. Ken Buck, get a few of your buddies and a couple of the moderates, and let's do some real business.
What about Mike Lindell? He could use it as a fundraising platform. You don't have to serve in the House to be Speaker of the House. Folks, come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. James Causey from the Journal Sentinel talking misleading CRT ads right here in Wisconsin.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Israel says it's preparing a major offensive in Gaza, gearing up for war, attacking from the air, sea, and land 1 week after Hamas launched a brutal attack on Israel. This is ABC News has learned that a second aircraft carrier strike group, the USS Eisenhower and other warships, will be ordered to the eastern Mediterranean to join the USS Gerald Ford strike group that's already in position.
Not only is it about sending more assets to Israel, showing that symbolic support, but it's also about deterrence. So when you talk about that possible second aircraft carrier headed towards the region, that is about telling other players, specifically Hezron, Hezbollah, those who are hostile to Israel, do not get involved, do not take advantage.
ABC's Selena Wang outside the White House. The latest update on the death toll in Gaza, at least 2,228 dead, 8,744 injured in Israel, at least 1,300 killed, and 3,227 injured. And the U.S. State Department says 29 Americans have been killed. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Embarrassed by ugly yellow toe fungus?
Living with toe fungus it's embarrassing. I was afraid to take my socks off. I hid my yellow and crumbly toes from everybody.
Introducing Crystal Flush. Crystal Flush is the only FDA-registered 2-in-1 home treatment that attacks your toe fungus from both the inside and out. Crystal Flush's new and different combination system knocks out toe fungus for good, guaranteed.
Crystal Flush is different. After just a few weeks, my fungus was gone. I mean, 100% disappeared. Crystal Flush was the only thing that ever worked. So if you're skeptical because you tried a bunch of other stuff, Crystal Flush is different. This is a game changer.
Crystal Flush is now available without a prescription, but it is not available in stores. Get your risk-free supply today. Go to crystalflush.com. That's CrystalFlush.com. Stop being embarrassed by ugly yellow toenails. Go to crystalflush.com or call 800-204-4484.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday Happier Happy Hour. It gets better right now, Dom. We got a fine guest. He's joining us. He is James Causey with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. James, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Thank you, James.
We appreciate you doing so, sir. I'm sure, like myself and many that are listening to the show right now, you've probably seen the anti-CRT ads that are running in the state of Wisconsin. And I saw this ad and it seems, you know, harmless at first, father and a daughter, and they're talking about all people should get along. We don't need CRT is sort of the sentiment behind this ad, but we're not really sure who's behind this ad, sir. So let's start there. Have you seen the ads and what was your impression when you did?
Yes, I've seen the ads. I mean, you can't miss it. If you turn on the TV, it's on all the time, especially during sports where they really try to capture a large segment of the audience. So, yeah, you can't miss it. And when I first saw it, the very first time I saw it, it was actually